Hello, and welcome to the Super Gay Wedding Podcast.
I'm Cindy Savage, real queer wedding planner at ILS Traveled.
And I'm Amanda Summerlin, super gay wedding photographer at Amanda Summerlin Photography.
We're wedding pros who are gay as fuck.
And we're talking about wedding shit from an LGBTQ perspective.
Super gay wedding, fuck yeah!
Woo!
Hello, super gay listeners. How are you? I hope you're good. We're here, and I was just having the thought because I'm sitting here in my office feeling very warm on this very cold day. It's going to be long gone, I hope, by the time you listen to this, but we have the polar vortex happening in the Midwest right now, which is dipping down from the North Pole all the way down here to St. Louis, and they're anticipating wind chills of negative 20, and I think right now the actual temperature is like 12. But I read something on the internet, which we all know never lies, that said that our heating systems in our homes are not really designed to sustain heat when it's less than 0 degrees outside. And the thing I read was like, so turn your heat up a couple degrees higher than you usually do and turn off the program so it just holds that temperature until the outdoor temperature gets above zero again so that your house will stay warm enough to live in. And I'm in here like, why is it so, I want to take my clothes off. It's so hot. I'm not going to, but I'll spare you, Amanda. But I even put on like not a very warm shirt because I knew it was going to get warm in here in my attempt to not freeze later.
What is your thermostat set on?
It's at 74 right now.
Oh my God.
Which is like, I should be wearing shorts. I don't know. I'm trying to obey the wisdom of people who know things about heating systems, but I don't know about this. Not interested in being negative 20, but 74 is like tropical summer almost. Huh.
I mean, that is like total sweaty.
It's warm. Gross. I'm feeling warm.
Maybe you should go boil some water so it'll be humid too and it can feel like Georgia.
Yeah, that's what I want for my life. Hot and humid. No, summer will be here soon enough.
We're having a little polar vortex summer action down here too, by the way. Everything is closed today, all government agencies and schools.
And it's how many? And it's how cold?
Well, I think it's about 46 right now.
About 46. And that's above zero.
Yeah.
I reposted an article on Facebook earlier today or yesterday because Chicago is like getting temperatures that are literally colder than the Arctic Circle and Alaska and the top of Mount Everest and a few other Siberian places that are usually considered to be quite cold. And I was all snotty like, I'm glad I moved. If you guys want to come down here to stay warm, I have guest rooms. And then 5 minutes later, I was like reading the St. Louis weather and like, yeah, it's going to be negative 20 wind. I'm like, damn it. Yep. I didn't move far enough.
That's kind of wild, actually, because you're kind of in the middle.
On the flip side, it's going to be 60 on Sunday, so for reference, it's Tuesday right now.
Oh my God.
So in a few days it'll be spring again. St. Louis is weird that way. We get such weird quick shifts in weather.
That is intensely.
Anyway, I'm trying not to freeze my ass off, and in turn
I
may just
spend
sweating
like
4 minutes
talking about the weather.
This
means we are officially fucking old.
I've now turned into my parents. It's happened.
Would you like to talk about your spleen and your body functions now?
No, thank you.
Are you regular?
We can save that for next week.
I have my glass of Metamucil in the morning.
I just...
I like the orange flavor.
I did.
You all right there?
Yeah, I'm fine. I did buy a new bottle.
Later on, I'm scheduling my call.
Nobody wants to listen to us just lose our shit, Amanda. Or maybe they do. I don't know. I hear we're funny.
I don't know. We've got all of 17 listeners now, so.
No, we have more than that.
Okay.
70. And they're all leaving now.
Okay. The radio switching
off. I did buy a new bottle of that bulletproof MCT oil stuff. So it's in my coffee. I don't know. I just started again yesterday. But I will say that this morning I woke off.
Yeah, it's working. Yeah.
It is working. I woke up like an hour earlier than I usually do. Which is weird, and I didn't feel tired. So
are you doing that getting up at 4 a.m. thing? Like,
God, no,
right now,
no.
It's like the dumbest fact.
I've read enough about sleep and circadian rhythms to understand that I am not a morning person. My best creative work happens between 4 and 9 p.m. and I'm basically a dysfunctional blob of useless cells until about 10 a.m. This is okay.
What?
It's almost 1 p.m. That's a reasonable time to do things. If you suggested we do this at 8 or 9, I'd be like, fuck no.
But, I wouldn't even be out of bed. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't usually get up until about 8:30. So,
That's not
today I woke up at 8, which was weird because I don't usually wake up that early.
Woo!
Anyway,
no, it is early. I'm
here we are. With you. Now we've talked about the weather and sleeping. So,
Colonoscopies.
Sure.
And mammograms. We should
never had. I've never had either one of those yet.
What?
Not quite that old.
Oh.
I don't have to get a mammogram until I'm 40, since I don't have any genetic risk factors.
Yeah, I had to get my...
And I'm not 40 yet.
I had to get one when I was like 30, and it was the worst thing ever. And
I hear they're terrible.
Yeah.
They seem terrible.
Don't do it. Don't ever take any body part and put it in a vice, to be honest. It's just a bad plan.
I mean, I hear that, but also I'd like to not have cancer, or at least to know if I have it, I guess, so...
I mean, you know.
When I get that old, I'm going to be good and get my annual mammogram and bitch about it like everybody else.
And that last listener just was like, I'm gone.
Bye.
Woo. So
none of this was even gay. So let's get back to that. What's
gay? What are you talking about?
Sure. Okay. What's gay in your life?
So let's talk about, do you prefer titties or boobies? I have friends who really,
I don't prefer either of those because both of them sound infantile.
Yes, but they're funny.
Tits or boobs? I say boobs.
Boobs.
Or tits. Okay. But I don't, no titties, no boobies.
I have a friend that like hates the word tit or titties, and every now and then I'll text it to her just to like piss her off.
I really hope my mom.
I can add you to the list. Do what?
I really hope my mom's not listening.
Look, you said let's talk about something besides colonoscopy.
I said let's talk about something gay.
But boobs are gay.
Well, many of them are, yeah. Mine are. Yours are, presumably.
More universally gay asses.
Well, they're so universal that they're not restricted to gayness. Everybody's got one.
I don't know. The really good ones are, I'd say. We could do like a little list of who's got the better ass, and we could pair up straight versus gay folks and celebrities and have a contest.
We could.
The best ass off.
This is getting out of hand, I think.
That bulletproof oil works great, man.
I'm so good today. Yeah. So am I above and beyond my usual capabilities as a co-host?
Yeah. You only fell out of your chair the one time today. I'm impressed.
I did not fall out of my chair. I'm fidgety. I move a lot, but I did not fall out.
Let's see if we can make her spit her coffee out.
I did spit a small amount of coffee when I was laughing. That happened. That's real.
Oh, I got the tears.
True.
I'm not even sure what was said that was so funny. I've already forgotten. It's a cool thing.
Something about body part. I don't know. You were going off on an old people body rant. And it just made me lose it.
Well,
along with all of our listeners.
Who are we gonna talk to? Probably should get to the good stuff.
Since we know you didn't come to hear us. Who did you come to hear?
Who were we talking to today?
So here I was hoping you would just answer it and that would be a smooth move.
No.
We're talking to Ainsley from Modern Rebel One Company, which is a wedding planning company based in New York with a couple of other locations around the country.
Ainsley is super cool and we had a great time talking together.
We sure did.
We should listen to it now before we embarrass ourselves any further.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. But here we are. This is my face. We talked last week.
Hello, this is my face.
This is what I look like.
I'm Amanda. How's it going?
Hey, Amanda. I don't know if you remember me, but you was wedding last year.
Say that again. You broke up.
Sorry about that. You shot my brother's wedding last year.
Who's your brother? Because you look familiar.
Colin and Lily in California.
Holy shit, you're right. Oh my God. That is so cool.
It is a small wedding world. It is a small queer wedding world.
Yeah, you were running the show. That was killer.
I was. Clipboard and going to put it away to, you know, process in for the ceremony, you know.
Nice. That was a fun wedding.
It was. It was very fun. I wish I knew then what I know now, but, you know.
Wait, what's the biggest lesson you... We're just going to dive right in. We're totally going to use this. What's the biggest lesson that you learned...
Let me take the dog one.
Oh, hold on. We're going to edit this out so we don't have the dog loudly chewing on the bone in the background. Podcasting from home, guys. It's not like being in a studio.
Yeah.
It's way better because I got my jammies.
So much better. Yoga pants. I don't have a glass of wine today, but I'm...
All right. You were going to ask a question.
Yes. There we go. We're going to back up. What is the biggest lesson you learned from both doing and being in, working and being in your brother's wedding?
One, it is hard to do both. It is hard to do both, and it is hard to provide professional insight when it's a relationship with someone. I love my brother dearly. I love my sister-in-law, maybe more. Don't tell him that. Colin, don't listen to this. It's fine. I'm like even looking at the pictures of their wife up on my wall, but they're both strong-willed people, and so am I, and it was definitely a challenge to try to like guide them from a professional standpoint when I wanted to make their wildest dreams come true.
There's a whole school of thought that you should never work a wedding for someone you have a personal relationship with. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So I also just worked my boss's wedding on Saturday, which was an interesting moment of boss's job for my boss in the company that she started, because I did not start my own company. I much did not want to do that. But honestly, you know, and I think this also goes for when my brother got married, I identify as a Enneagram type 2 helper. I'm also a Virgo. I'm a person who loves precision and details and understanding my role in a social situation. So actually getting to be at my boss's wedding and be a part of the celebration and love and full on cried during the ceremony at all of the vows because it was beautiful and like I have a great relationship with her and her partner's amazing, but also have my clipboard and be like, great, I'm going to go do this thing now. And I know that in being able to work that moment and help bring that event to life, that I'm giving a gift in that way because I'm also a gift giver. It's one of my big love languages. Can you tell that I like personality tests? And being able to do that for my brother too, again, was my wedding gift to them, was being able to help bring that experience to life. Do I want to do that for all of my friends? Absolutely not, because I also love having a glass of wine and hitting the dance floor. But I think also at this point, you know, having worked so many events, it's also a little hard to just attend a wedding at this point.
It is.
You start to notice everything.
We're going to roll right into it, Cindy?
Yeah, let's be official. Is everybody ready to start this podcast?
Yeah.
I mean.
God, wow. Should we reschedule? Let's try it. Now I feel like that asshole at the things that's like, you didn't yay loud enough.
I know,
let's
right?
Let's just start this thing.
We've already established that I'm grumpy today.
Amanda's grumpy, but she's here. I'm not grumpy because I just had some body-boosting antioxidant snacks, including chocolate.
Yes.
And we're here with Ainsley, who's going to introduce themselves right now.
Hello, I am Ainsley. I am a wedding planner for Modern Rebel & Co. in New York City, but we also work pretty much throughout the whole country in different places. And as a fun fact, I'm non-binary and my pronouns are they, them.
Hey, Angelie, what makes you super gay? You're on the Super Gay Wedding Podcast. What makes you super gay?
I just am. I don't even know. I wake up and I exude a homosexuality all around me. I wake up and I'm bathed in glitter and I spread it through the world as I spread joy. I do love glitter.
Is that a requirement? Because if so, my card needs to be revoked because I hate glitter.
Well, you have to find the ways to contain it. You mix it with glue so that it doesn't get everywhere. I'm also a crafter, and I have, actually, I'm gonna show you both. I have these things on my wall that are glittered, that say glitter and BA and glitter queer, and I think that's the best that I can ever describe myself in those phrases. You just gotta put it in glue, and that way it doesn't get everywhere. It won't, like...
Cool.
Yeah.
My way of containing it is to not ever use it for anything ever.
But it's so pretty. All right, glitter people.
Uh-huh. We're gonna have,
very willing to live without
a special
it.
Glitter package attached to this show notes on that. It's just so that
you know, for our Patreon, Amanda, we could do
glitter bombs
at the $5 a month level. We can send a glitter bomb either to you or your choice of somebody else whose address you provide.
All right. So Ainsley, you were saying you were non-binary.
Yes, that is true. And in being non-binary, the pronouns that I use are they, them, which is definitely an interesting identity working in an industry that is
super broken up gender into,
yeah, broken up into bride and groom. So it's always a week after week, it's kind of a wild adventure.
Yeah.
What's been the most challenging or difficult specific thing you've encountered being non-binary in our extremely binary world of weddings?
That's a great question. I think it's just the challenge of how do you come out to a room of 150 people that you don't know and are honestly probably never going to see again week after week. Because obviously being the planner and being a coordinator, you work with your couples over a period of time. And through that time, you know, I convey to them, this is who I am. This is my identity. Everyone on our team are pronouns and our email signatures. But day of, there's just not enough time when you're focusing on, you know, making sure that your couple is ready to walk in for ceremony or trying to get guests seated. There's really no... Actually, wait a minute. I know you just said she, but that's not how I identify. I identify this way. Oh, wait, you don't know what non-binary is? Okay, great. Let me put all of this event that I'm running on pause to give you a little bit of a gender breakdown 101. There's just really not time for that, and it's hard to feel like I have to sacrifice a piece of myself at work, you know, because when it comes down to it, that's my job, and while my company extremely inclusive and supportive and celebratory of my identity and folks who have, you know, identities that aren't cisgendered or what the wedding industry expects of people. You know, part of my job is to interact with people on a wide range week after week. So I'm not always in that safety net. And I think that is definitely the biggest and most consistent struggle that I have.
It sounds pretty exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, like, event planning is not exhausting enough.
Right? That's the most exhausting job there is. So would you say that you work more LGBTQ weddings or more straight weddings?
I mean, I looked back earlier this year, actually, and I have worked with... more, I would guess straight couples. Obviously, I don't know everybody's identity, but more couples where it is like a man and a woman getting married. But I have had the chance to work with quite a few queer couples this year. Part of the thing is with our team being more than just one company, there's also several other coordinators on our team who work with couples. So it's, you know, part of, you know, we had five weddings on one day in September, and I'm not going to be at all of those, but mean that sometimes we get queer couples and I don't get to work with them, which is kind of sad for me, but yeah. I do work with some incredible straight folks, and honestly I mean the truth is to get to work with more queer folks, because I think there's something really special, and it's something that I actually heard back from one of the queer couples I did work with this year, is that having a coordinator, especially I think as that, especially being a coordinator, having someone who sees you and understands your experience is going to help guide you throughout the process, as well as make sure all of your other vendors, because it's kind of the coordinator's piece is really holding all the vendors together, move through one day, and just making sure that everyone understands the couple's experience and how to respect folks as a queer couple, because it is different. It's a different experience than the world as straight folks. So I would love to work with more queer couples to be able to provide that just like understanding and compassion in the process.
Let's talk a little bit more about what you see that makes an LGBTQ wedding different from a straight person's wedding, straight couple's wedding, excuse me.
I think it's a big part of the narrative that the wedding industry sells. Like when you think of a wedding, there's something that immediately pops into mind. You know what it mm-hmm. looks like. You know what people are going to do. And that narrative, that honestly fairy tale bullshit that we've been sold, makes no room for queer folks. Absolutely none. It is always a man and a woman, a bride and a groom. He may kiss his bride. It is very male-centered and centered on this idea of being a woman being given away. And what do you do if your couple doesn't exist within a bride and a groom, or even doesn't identify with the words bride-groom? Like, it's the fairy tale narrative that this country specifically has been sold for quite a while now doesn't make space for us. And so when you do have queer folks going into the wedding planning process, it's a lot harder because you don't really have any experience or narrative or stories or media to work from. Just like the rest of our lives, I think we really have to kind of create things for ourselves because society has refused to acknowledge us. And so when it comes to planning a wedding, you're like, well, shit, if I don't fit bride and groom and there's, you know, my father doesn't talk to me because I'm a queer person and I don't know who's going to walk me down the aisle, but do I even want to have an aisle after all if we're not going to, like, you know, go through this other traditional process? There's just, you start to question everything, and it can be both exciting but also a little overwhelming to be like, I don't even know where to.
That was pretty accurate description, actually.
So given all of that, as as a wedding planner, wedding coordinator, what different needs do you see that LGBTQ couples have as they're planning, and what do you do to address them?
What a great question. I think this need is to be seen and valued. And I think also to know that their vendors support, like, wholeheartedly. And
yeah,
I've been thinking recently about the idea of, like, acceptance. And I have decided that acceptance is bullshit. Actually celebration. So when I get to work with LGBTQ yeah. couples, I don't want to just accept them. I want to celebrate them. I want to be so excited for them, and all of their vendors should be too. It's not just, oh, I'll take your money, I don't care if you're queer. That's what I'm looking for. Right, like,
right. Well, to me, there's like three levels, right? So there's tolerance, which is kind of like, okay, I will admit you exist, and I will maybe not legislate against you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Thanks.
And I might, like, tell you to go to church and pray it away, right? I don't know if that even meets the definition of tolerance, but there are definitely people that do that and believe they are tolerant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's acceptance, which is like, yeah, this is all totally fine. You're different than everybody else, but whatever, it's cool.
Do we have to keep talking about it?
can you maybe, like, just not be so in our face about it with your gay? Y'all can't see this, but we're all basically rolling our eyes really hard.
Yes.
I think I sprained one of my eyeballs.
I'm sure I've done that before. And then there's what you actually want for your wedding and for your life, perhaps more importantly, is celebration. Like, you're different and that's awesome. what can we do to make your wedding as happy and joyful and wonderful and as an occasion as we have for our little perfect bride and groom narrative over here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think that...
Well, I mean, do you think it's been all the perfect for them either with the gender roles that they're forced into? You know, I work with a lot of really forward thinking couples, you know, and most of the straight couples who come to me are partners in every way, and they both work, you know, on they divide up the labor, and, you know, one person works on this project and one person works on that project, and they're out there bending gender norms themselves because they find
it
to be sort of restrictive, the whole thing to be restrictive.
It's like all wrapped up together in patriarchal bullshit. Like the whole reason we have this wedding binary business is because it was all about straight white men and what they needed. And so we built this little thing where it's part of the way we brainwash women and our culture is the narrative that we teach to women is, your job in life is to find a man and marry him and have his babies. That's I know, it's disgusting, isn't it? I don't know how straight people can live. But, no, I mean, sometimes y'all are really cute. But anyway.
Only sometimes.
Like no offense. I'm sorry. I love all my straight people. But like, who? It's hard. You know, I guess I find it. Do you guys feel this way? I find it sometimes really difficult to relate to straight people. And as I'm sure they sometimes find it difficult to relate to me. Like, I just can't imagine. Or maybe I've just had an inner rebel forever, but like way before I knew I was gay, I was like, fuck that. I don't want that out of my life. And like, my life is more exciting than meet some man and have babies. Listen, I love babies. I was a nanny for 4 years. I'm eventually going to probably have a baby or acquire a baby, not have a baby. My body's good. I don't need to make one. But it's just, I'm sorry.
I need to get like a sound effect of a train going off the track. Like,
gone. It's gone. But anyway, to actually make a point here, it is all part of that narrative, and straight women are in many ways, like pigeonholed into it harder than queer people are because we at least are like, well, none of that belongs to us. So we can just kind of do whatever.
Right.
Yeah. In some ways where straight women are battling and women in straight relationships, whether they are straight themselves or their partners are, but they're battling this the whole way through, and you can just see it as people try to plan their weddings. It's like nobody's asking the male half of this couple how the wedding plans are going or what their colors are or any of this nonsense. And women are just dealing with this all day, every day, because you're about to reach your pinnacle, man. Like, you got the thing, you got the ring, and you're planning the thing, and like, it is the most important thing that ever has happened in your life. So of course we're going to ask you questions about that and only that forever until you're married. And then the second you're married, we will start bombarding you with questions about when you're having babies and how many you're having and why you don't have any yet. And it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah. All right.
That's
all. Pull us back on the rails here.
Yeah. You can edit that down later. So it's
less. I don't know. That's a pretty good rant. Don't you think so, Angelique?
Well,
that was great.
You know, we haven't recorded an episode of our podcast if I haven't gone on at least one rant. So
right. So
anyway,
I mean, but that's all like,
it's all take a deep.
Yeah,
it's so valid. I mean,
yeah,
it. I think it is in a way harder for straight women navigating the wedding industry. And a big part of what I do with my company is talking about how to bring the feminist revolution into the wedding world, because it. The entire industry is literally founded on women as property, and like it hasn't, even though we've reworked the narrative. So now it's honestly, it's being marketed as a thing all about love. It still disempowers women, even though it is put up on a pedestal as a thing that only women should care about. Like, it's this whole thing where she plans the entire thing and he just shows up, and yet he's the only one really actually benefiting from the situation. And it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. The amount of couples that come to us and say, you know, I got engaged and my partner is really excited. He's into, like, he's looking at these things and these things, but still no one asks him how it's going. No one asks him if he's excited. They just ask me, being like the female presenting person or identifying person in the couple, like, you know, all of the questions about the little details that should really be directed to both people, because most of the time a marriage happens between at least two. Partnership is typically more than one person. And there's so many more perspectives involved, and the way that society just frames it as something that only women should really care about, but then you can't care about it too much, right? Because then you're a bridezilla, and it's this very fine line you have to walk, and it is, you can't. And
I have another rant for that one, which I'll save for another day. The short version
is, limit per episode.
The short version is, I believe that the term bridezilla is roughly equivalent to when people call women a bitch at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want women to be friendly and helpful and cheerful and all these things we put on women. And when women start to say, this is the thing I want and I'm going to get it, we say, you're a bitch. You're a bridezilla. So yeah. When women come into a wedding and they go, I know what I want for my wedding and it's this and I'm going to have it, we say, you're a bridezilla. Not, okay, you can have what you want. You've earned what you want. You're paying for what you want, for fuck's sake, most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
That's it. You want that thing. Point. Yeah.
I appreciate this space to rant about this stuff, because I know I talk with my friends and I think they maybe are a little done with hearing about weddings. None of them engage, and they're like, Ainsley, can we talk about something fun? And I'm like, but you don't understand how messed up this industry is. So
messed up.
Well, I mean, weddings are really only interesting in when you're planning one, right?
Yeah.
And after you're done with yours.
Well, based on the number of people I see in Facebook groups, which are mostly full of women, because that's who's planning weddings. Everyone's coming into Facebook groups to talk about their weddings because their friends are sick of hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even their other friends who are also getting married are like, nah, too much.
Yeah, fortunately, you know, we have a lot of listeners here who actually are interested, and my wife listens to. We're in a marriage, but anyway. So let's talk about a happy thing. do you have a favorite LGBTQ wedding moment?
There's two from this year that really meant a lot, and for different reasons.
Awesome.
The first one was in March, and that one felt important to me because for the first time I was a part of and saw a partnership that looked something like what I hope to have one day. And was with these two older queer women who, you know, just based on their age and how they grew up in the world, never thought that this kind of marriage would be possible. They got married when they were both over 50, and I mean, it was a wild ride. They're both very busy and important people, which is why they brought me on kind of 3 months out, close to the end pieces. But I guess the long story short there is that day of their event, I got to find myself in a room with some really incredible, powerful queer women, including the two of them, as well as Cynthia Nixon and Allison Bechtel. And that was just like a goddamn dream come true.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, the way that I've really kind of come to understand that, being a part of that wedding and seeing these two women, who neither one really fits super much into the feminine, but I wouldn't really call them butch either. It was definitely just kind of like we do ourselves and we walk through the world, and we are powerful and strong and important, and had built this beautiful community all around them of literal, like, world leaders and game changers. And to be in that space and to look around felt like a Ring of Keys moment. And to have Alice and Bechtel there throughout it all was just like mind blowing. Absolutely mind blowing. And so that was really a moment got to kind of see myself. And fast forward that, you know, 6 months later, it's August and I'm out on Long Island, and for the first time I had a couple who really saw me. And they were the cutest thing. When we did our kickoff call, we have our whole contact sheet, and at Modern Rebel, we try to be super inclusive, and we always ask for people's pronouns and how they identify. And so our forms are like, you know, fill out your names as the couple, your wedding party, your vendors, put in pronouns and all this stuff. And so we have it say like bride/groom/individual A, bride/groom/individual B, because what do you call someone getting married who's not a bride or a groom? We literally don't have the words.
And future spouse.
Ooh, I like that.
That's what I use. I'm always rooting for it.
I like that a lot. What they decided to write in was femme and Swiffer. And as we started our kickoff call, I was like, okay, so wedding femme, totally get it. I think I understand that. Please do explain, what is a Swiffer? And so the more masculine of center leaning person in the partnership said, well, I don't identify as a bride. I don't identify as a groom. And they had a friend who had called themselves a broom as a combo of bridegroom, but they didn't want to steal that term. Let's do a play on that and call themselves a Swiffer.
It's a modern day broom.
Yeah, exactly.
Swiffer, oh my God, that's hysterical.
It was, and working with the two of them was just so wonderful. And after their wedding, you know, I sent a little thank you email, kind of just wrapping some stuff up. And part of their response was taking a moment to say that we can't be held responsible for the actions of our guests, but we want to say that we're sorry if anyone misgendered you throughout the day. And we want you to know that we understand how important it is to be seen for yourself. And we want you to know that we, and that just like getting that email, I cried because it was the first time anyone I'd worked with had taken a moment to really say that to me. And I mean, it wasn't really actually until this year that I came out as non-binary. A new thing for me and a beautiful thing. And I think that moment, similar to how, you know, I've seen queer couples really wanting and needing to be seen, I think queer vendors in this industry also have that. And it meant just as much to me, I think, to be able to be seen in that moment. So by far, those are the two, for very different reasons, my favorite moments in this industry.
I definitely hear that. You know, I feel like the wedding planner space is a very femme space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a very straight femme space, frankly.
Yes.
But they're so like, I follow with some interest every time a thread comes up that's like, what do you wear when you work a wedding? I watch it all. And it's all like, I wear a dress and heels. And I'm like, the fuck? How do you even do that?
Female photographers do that too. I'm like, what the hell? I crawl on the floor all the
life?
Time.
Like, I don't get it. But they're so, yeah. So anyway, I'm just saying I totally relate to feeling seen, because sometimes I just go in those spaces and I'm like, oh, I don't belong here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I identify strongly as being a woman and a female person, but I've kind of come to realize,
though, right?
What I've come to realize is that while I identify strongly as being a female woman person, I actively don't identify as being feminine, nor really masculine. So like, there's something in the middle for me that when I get in a space, and you know what I mean when it's like, just, it's girls, you know?
Yep.
Like, I don't feel belonging in a space that's girls. And I also don't feel belonging in a space that's boys. And the wedding planner space is very girls.
Yeah. I think something in the past year I've gone through a series of what the hell do I wear when I work a wedding? And I actually just moved into a new apartment, and this was the moment where I decided I'm getting rid of all of my dresses and my heels. I don't wear them. I haven't worn them for a year. And when I first started working weddings, I mean, before the first one that I ever assisted, I had a full-blown panic attack because I had bought a dress to wear, and I felt terrified to wear it. I didn't want to wear it, but I didn't feel like I had any other options. I am short. I'm 5'1", and I am chunky, and menswear does not fit my body. and all of the stuff in the women's sections always have all of these, like, you know, seams to accentuate curves. And part of that is what led me to actually learning how to make my own button-down shirts so that I could have things that I could wear that made me feel good in my body. Because I don't dresses. Not to work, at least. Sometimes I like to wear them for fun, but not so much anymore, really. And it is hard to show up in a space in a role that you know, hey, I'm going to be doing stuff all day long. I don't know how people wear heels, because, like, I am, like, crouching down and, like, picking up things and, like, running quickly to go move people and, like, move a table across the entire dance floor. Like, whatever it is, I don't understand how people survive in heels, but also just knowing that, like, there's an image too. Just as there's an image for what a wedding looks like, there's also an image for what a wedding planner looks like.
And it's Jennifer Lopez in the movie The Wedding Planner.
It is. Oh, I watched that movie again last year. Which, by the way, is a
complete and total crock of shit. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
I've only ever seen it once, and I never saw it until after I was a wedding planner, mm-hmm. and then I finally was like, I guess I should watch this. Mm-hmm.
It's a trash movie.
I mean,
sorry, okay. J-Lo was great. It's
a trash movie. That's true. I promise not to derail this for too long, but my two takeaways are these. Number one, wedding planners, I see you pointing at your watch. Number one, wedding planners as a whole are not likely to fall in love with your fiance and then, like, steal him away. That's not how
you've done that before.
Not ever. Yeah. Not once. Not a single time. I've never fallen in love with any of my clients. I don't think I've ever even, like, crushed on any of my clients. I love all my clients. You're all beautiful, but I haven't crushed on you. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Because, like, that's really unprofessional and kind of gross. So. And number two, this is a bigger one. No wedding planner would ever, ever, ever allow the ceremony to start without knowing where the father of the motherfucking bride is. It just does not happen unless you're a terrible wedding planner.
Mm-hmm.
But Ainsley, what advice do you have for LGBTQ people who are planning a wedding? I mean, obviously a lot since you're a wedding planner, but, like, if you could narrow it down to a broad stroke or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Specifically, what do you want them to know before they contact you, you know?
I think
besides, like, hire a planner.
I mean, definitely hire a planner unless you want to be telling guests where to go next during your own party. I think the biggest piece of advice is, honestly, like, do you. Don't let the idea of what a wedding should be stop you from doing what you want. Like, this is a day to celebrate people and partnership and community and family, whether it's blood or chosen, and it's a day to celebrate love. So make sure that you're doing what you love. Make sure you are surrounded by people that you love, eating food that you love, wearing something that you love. You should not have to sacrifice pieces of yourself to appease someone else. And I think that's honestly advice that I have living life in general. But, like, I am not engaged. Not at all. And yet I know that when I get married, I would love for there to be a bounce house and face paint, because those are things that I love to do. And that sounds like a party to me. And if that's something that speaks to you, like.
And there are wedding bounce houses you can rent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's legitimately a thing.
I've been to.
You gotta get that out there with the faces on the stick, Amanda.
Yeah, I've been to weddings with bounce houses. It's awesome.
Yes.
Kind of hard to shoot a photo in one, but whatever.
I mean, there's so much of the world out there that will tell you what you should and should not do, and there's so much of the wedding industry that will tell you what you should and should not do, and there's so much. I mean, there's so many people in your family even that will probably try to tell you what you should not do, but. They're not the ones getting married. It's not their party. And I think that it is a hard thing, because there will probably be some moments of not sacrifice, but accommodation and why am I forgetting that word where you compromise? Thank you. Yeah. That one. There will be moments of compromise, but there should not be moments where you have to put a part of yourself away and hide it. Because if this is a party celebrating you, then you should be able to show up your full self. And if someone's not going to run with that and not going to celebrate that, they shouldn't be there. And that might be hard, and that might be really, really sad to sit with, but that room should be room outdoors, wherever it is, should be bursting with excitement that y'all are doing the damn thing and love each other and find each other rad enough to spend a shit ton of time together. So everyone in that room should reflect
forever
that.
Forever is like a really long time.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah. Just saying. Really long.
So which random question are we going to do? We're going to do random question of the day, random shit, random
number
words.
Number eight, I think.
Random shit?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you ready? So this is a fun game we like to play where we surprise you with a question that was not on the list of questions we sent you. This one isn't, it's easy. It's either ors. So we're going to present you with two options and you just tell us which one is the better one.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready, Amanda?
Me? Yeah. Are we going to alternate this?
Sure.
Okay.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
iOS or Android?
Oh, yeah. We forgot to say that we're going to probably judge you through the whole thing, I guess. What's happening?
This is a sad question. Is iOS Apple? I am not a tech person.
That's awesome.
It is, yes.
That is the one that I currently have, so we'll go with that.
Amanda, you wrote new questions since the last time we did this. Thank you. Toilet paper, over or under?
Oh my God, it should always go over. It never go under. Whoever does that, you're wrong, and I will fix it whenever I come into your home.
Yes. Also, if you look it up, the patent is over.
It is. No, it is. Toilet paper. It is.
It's for real. But I don't know who's putting it under, but you're wrong.
No, under is what works.
Just keep your cats out of the bathroom then.
Oh my God. Have you ever had a cat?
Yes. In fact, I was just going to tell you what my cats did in the bathroom, and it wasn't play with the toilet paper.
No. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset. I grew up on the West Coast, and sunset over the ocean is still one of my favorite things.
Beach or mountains?
Beach.
I know that one's hard.
But I do love the mountains.
It's tricky, isn't it? Spring or fall?
Oh, fall, 100%. I'm a September baby, so like it's my season.
There you go.
Ketchup or mustard?
Ranch.
Whoa, that's interesting. All right, this one's for the southerners here. Macaroni salad or potato salad?
I think potato salad. I don't know if I've had macaroni salad. I feel ashamed.
Very southern thing. You've had all over the country. I can't believe you've not been presented with a macaroni salad at a barbecue before.
Don't think that I have.
What about pasta salad, as it is sometimes called in other regions?
No.
A pasta salad is way different than macaroni salad.
It can be, but some people... you're right.
Paula Deen will slap your ass. I'm just saying. I
don't. Some pasta salads are very similar to macaroni salad, and I'm going to leave it at that. Dogs or cats?
Cats.
French fries or tater tots?
Ooh, French fries. Definitely French fries.
Tea or coffee?
That's really hard. Because I grew up on tea. My mother was born and raised in Scotland, so we drink tea like 5 times a day. But I have now become a person who cannot live without coffee. I think I'm going to go with tea, though, because that feels kind of homey and probably more healthy in the long run.
Whose turn is it? I've lost track.
It's your turn.
Oh, left or right? We said it was random.
I know.
We meant it.
I'm going to go.
Oh, you froze on this. What was your choice again?
I said I'm going to go with left.
Well, there you go.
There we go.
It's better for politics.
I mean, definitely. Definitely.
Speaking of, red or blue?
Blue. Based on the aforementioned thing. Yeah.
How about Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
I'm going to go with Buffy. But that is a good question.
Right?
Yes.
The Simpsons Or Family Guy.
I think The Simpsons, mostly because Lisa Simpson makes some really great feminist memes.
All right. Doctor Who or The Walking Dead?
Doctor Who.
Oh, huh. There's a pattern emerging here.
Cake or pie?
Cake, 100%, and it should be chocolate.
I like your certainty with that one. That's good.
Oh, yes.
Last one. Beer okay. or wine?
Can't stand beer. Can't stand it at all. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it should be...
another one on Team Wine. Oh, my God. So...
And for all, wine, it should be white or rosé.
Oh.
I like what I like.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's all good, these, so many lesbians and queer women are like all about the beer, which I'm like, but it's beer.
But it's,
it tastes like beer?
Yeah, but it's gross. Can we drink something else?
Like, sure, I'll go have a drink with you, but can we go somewhere that's not a craft brewery, please?
Mm-hmm. I just shot a wedding at a craft brewery last weekend.
Can we go to the wine bar with the gay boys and the show tunes?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's my happy place.
Out of the club, you guys. Gosh.
I don't think that's allowed, actually. For as much as we joke about your card getting revoked, like, we're the gays. We accept everybody. Like, that's our whole deal. We don't kick people out. Once you're here, when you're here, you're family, and we really mean it, unlike the Olive Garden.
What?
You don't know their commercials? When you're here, you're family.
I don't have TV.
I don't either, but I still know that somehow.
I don't know how. I don't think I've seen a commercial that wasn't on Hulu.
Thing. They like show everybody talking and laughing over their giant bowls of disgusting pasta, and... When you're here, you're family. Which, frankly, if you ask me, is like not the best way to get me to come to your restaurant. But
mm-hmm.
I like really don't want to go out to eat pasta with my family. But if we're talking my queer family, then sure. Here for it.
As long as there's wine.
Anyway, if that just got too stupid, please feel free to cut it out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know it is.
All right. So we've come to the end of the show. This is the part where we say thank you
for
hanging out with us and putting up with our weird line of questioning and our methods.
This has been great.
You know, we have to keep ourselves entertained. After all, it's a passion project.
That's right.
This is the part of the show where you get to tell everyone where to find you. And we'll also include all of this in the show notes. So anyone who's driving right now, please don't try to write this down. It's going to be in the notes. But tell us where to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. For wedding-related content, you can find me at Modern Rebel Ho on Instagram, on the internet, on Facebook. I do run all of the social media marketing stuff for Modern Rebel. So that is me behind all the little graphics and I would like to say witty captions. Cool. Yeah, I have many a role with the company. It's more than just coordinating and planning. If you want to follow me personally for how I like to phrase it, all of my content and pictures of places that I have cried, you can follow me on Instagram at lazyandrogyny. Yeah, you definitely should. There's a reclamation to it. I think it's fun. It's great. I love it. I hope other people feel some sort of comfort by it. But I'm on Instagram at lazyandrogyny, and folks are welcome to find me there too.
Nice. So fabulous. Rebel Co. everywhere and lazyandrogyny on Instagram. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming and recording and ranting.
Of course.
And criticizing.
Yes.
With us today.
And for being a fellow Scottish ginger. So,
woo! Yes.
Thanks for listening to our fucking podcast.
Now's the part where we tell you who makes this podcast possible and ask you to help more people find us.
The Supergay Wedding Podcast is brought to you by
Catalyst Wedding Co. Love, weddings, and marriage for feminists, the LGBTQ+ community, and woke folk. Find them at catalystwedco.com.
And also by
Choose Your Own Wedding, the world's first wedding planning subscription.
It's everything you need to plan a great wedding at an affordable monthly price.
Sign up at chooseyourown.wedding for a complete online wedding planning course to guide you through every step of wedding planning with video lessons, worksheets, spreadsheets, and professional templates.
You'll also get personal on-demand planning support from a professional wedding planner, that's me, in our private Facebook community, and instant answers on our monthly live planning calls.
Enter the code SUPERGAY at checkout to get your first week free.
Check out all the details and subscribe now at chooseyourown.wedding.
If you like our show, please share it with your friends, subscribe, and take a minute to leave us a review.
You can find Super Gay Wedding on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you'd like to learn more about Super Gay Wedding, be on the show, or tell us what we should talk about next,
check us out at supergaywedding.com.
Find us at facebook.com/supergaywedding.
Or email us at supergaywedding@gmail.com.
And if you need a bomb-ass wedding planner who totally has her shit together and is wicked competent, you need to check out Cindy's website at islelesstraveled.com.
And if you need a destination photographer who's not afraid to get her camera dirty capturing your wedding adventure, then you should get your ass over to amandasummerlin.com.
And by the way, if you hire us both, we're going to give you a 5% discount.
Because we're fucking awesome.
And we love working together.
And we will rock your super gay wedding.
Fuck yeah.
Woo!
Nailed that shit. Like, for real.
I think you did, yeah.